Hello and welcome. Joining me this time is Nick James, who is arguably one of the UK's most well-known and experienced internet marketers. He's certainly one of the most progressive and has won numerous awards, and I'm sure we'll talk about that during this session. Nick, it's great to connect.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Now, for those who aren't aware of you or your achievements, maybe you could just start by telling me a little bit about your background and how you got started.
Yeah, sure, because I'm certainly not somebody that's gone to university or had any kind of marketing degree or anything like that. I've come through from what I call grassroots, or the, I guess, the guerrilla style of marketing. I had to make something work from the beginning. But listen, I knew nothing in 2000, 2001. That's when I actually had a chance meeting with somebody that was already making money online, making money in a completely different way than I'd ever heard of or seen before. And it was a chance meeting with this guy, and he basically just told me that he was making money by offering people things that were for sale. And I know it sounds really obvious now, but back then I was told that you had to give people your time, you had to have a job, you needed to go out to work in order to get a wage. And that was a real turning point in my life, because for the first time I had this huge illumination of this light bulb telling me that my income was no longer related or index linked to the number of hours I was working a day for a boss who, well, pretty much didn't like him and he didn't like me.
So I guess the first question then off the back of that is, what made you want to do this in the first place? What was the thing that tipped you over the edge that made you want to embrace this new way of working?
Okay, so I mean, the position we're in now is I run a business with my wife, and we turn over literally millions of dollars a year selling information products and software online. And we do that in a variety of different ways. We can go into it a little bit later. But the thing that really got me started with this was the fact that I'd actually gone through a breakup. My partner, my little boy's mum, we split up. We went through a sort of a bad separation. And it was at this point that I think somebody first introduced me to a self-help guy. I mean, you probably know him as well, Brian Tracy. And I was listening to a cassette tape from him called The Psychology of Achievement. And I remember he said to me, he said on this tape, you need to learn to love yourself and you need to learn to educate yourself. Now, listen, I'm not into one of these kind of high five, happy clappy, you know, self-help kind of mantras. Okay, but he connected with me. He said something, and I thought to myself, you know, I'm 20 years old and I fell out of love with educating myself. I didn't have a good secondary school or high school education. And here's a man that's telling me that I should put my energy into something because I'm in a pretty bad place right now. I should learn to forgive everybody else. And you know what? When I was coming out of that bad place and listened to him at that time, it was almost as if that saying of when the student is ready, the teacher appears actually happened, because I threw myself into something that I knew nothing about and really just embraced all of this new information that I was being given. Things like, there's another way to earn money. You don't actually have to have a job and work for somebody else. You can be your own boss. If you want to be your own boss, there are lots of models you can follow. You don't actually have to be somebody that's selling time for money. And I was in such a bad place at the time. I didn't want to think about my personal life. I wanted to throw myself into something new, to stop thinking about a breakup, to stop thinking about my money woes, to stop thinking about all the things that I didn't have anymore. So I think I'm an avoidance of pain guy. And I did everything to avoid the pain that I was feeling and threw myself into this wholeheartedly. And that could have been, you know, a huge difference as regards to, you know, the difference between an also-ran and somebody that really did want to hit the ground running.
So how hard or how easy was it for you at that point to actually get started? I mean, you've got the motivation, but what, you know, how difficult, how easy was it for you right at the very start?
Well, you know, I think a lot of these things, it comes down to consistency. And actually, when I actually think back, all I did was copy exactly what I was shown. I had a mentor who taught me how he was making his money, how he was selling his products, how he licensed them, how he marketed them. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't find it difficult in the sense of the word. I didn't know what to do. But I think that, and I didn't find it difficult in terms of motivation. So actually, I think the process for me was actually quite systematic, quite methodical. And what I did find out was if I did what I was told, and I think this is really important for everyone to take away, if you do what you're told by your mentor, you follow instructions to a T, you should get what you're shown. It's, I think sometimes it's when we go off track and we change the recipe, we change what we're told because we think we know better. I think clever people change what they're told because they think they know better than the person that's teaching them. So in that regard, it took me a while to set up my first business, my first internet business. I licensed my first product. I put some marketing together. And I was quite fortunate enough that by following those steps to a point of what I call marketing, releasing the marketing products, releasing the marketing, I got sales very quickly. And then I had this learned behavior that, if I do this again, I'm going to make more sales. So I just keep repeating what I originally done to make my first sale.
So, Nick, what advice would you give to someone who's just starting out in this business?
There are many things, but I think there's one key thing that I did actually write about recently when I was putting together a new book, Six Figures a Year in Info Publishing. And I kind of go in depth in this right at the very beginning because of its importance. I think on page 16, we kind of spell it out. But essentially, it's the aim. Okay, but essentially, what we're trying to do is we're trying to make sure that we're always going to be adding value to people's lives. We're making a difference. And as well as sort of adding value, making a difference, we're kind of enriching people's lives so they get what they want as well. So it's a win-win situation for both people. And if you can actually be the person that others think of in a favorable way, that each time somebody does business with you, they think positively about that, then you're going to be top of the mind for the future. It's far better doing that than conning somebody, scamming somebody, and trying to think that you pulled the wool over somebody's eyes and you've got something over somebody. Don't do that. Be the white knight of your industry and be the person that love you, God, love thy neighbor, love your customers. Don't be the person that people think of and talk of in a derogatory fashion. I say it is an important part of business because profits in business come from the lifetime customer value. And if you set up the foundations of your business correctly, the ethics of how you trade online correctly, then it's going to come back and it's going to reward you tenfold, hundredfold in the future. As I say, we'll talk about it a little bit more in Six Figures a Year in Info Publishing. And I'll tell you a little bit later on how I can make sure you get a free copy of that book as well with my compliments.
Now, you do a lot in product licensing and PLR. Why is that so important to your business, would you say?
I think you can get your first product to market 10 times faster if you license it than if you create it yourself. And I think if we start creating things, we want to start perfecting things. And to make something perfect, it never, ever reaches that 100% perfection. So we don't release something. And I remember hearing Marlon Sanders very long time ago, wonderful internet marketer, product developer, saying half done ain't done. So you can have all these half done, half finished projects, but if it's half finished, you haven't sold one. You can't sell any of 10 half finished products. And that's what I realized about product creation. You tend to start something and not finish it. But with licensing, the thing's already created. All you need to do is make it look a little bit different, put another wrapper on it, rebrand it, as we call it, give it another title, change the marketing out a little bit, and it's ready to go. The customer's waiting. And it was, I hadn't actually created a product until I'd licensed at least half a dozen products from other people. And I think that, again, was really useful.
And what would you say is the difference between PLR and product licensing? Just the differentiation between those two things. So you hear a lot about this. So what are the differences?
Well, PLR is a form of license, and it gives you the most amount of rights to be able to change a product. You could even put yourself as the author or the product creator if you wanted to. That's exactly what it is. It's a private label or a white label. I suppose very similar to what's called badge engineering, I suppose, when somebody else could manufacture the products and you're able to put your logo or your badge stuck on the front of it. So PLR is a type of license, but effectively licensing really just comes down to permission to act or permission to duplicate and sell copies. You've got a rights agreement maybe that rights agreement allows you to duplicate copies of a USB drive or a CD-ROM or a DVD or something like that. Or if it's republishing, it allows you to reprint a manual or a home study course or a book. You don't actually have to be the author. You don't have to be the person that created it. You just need permission to make copies of what's being created. And that's what makes it so much faster. But you may be restricted if you just have a reprint rights agreement or a reprint rights license. You might only be able to copy it exactly. Maybe you can't change the title. Maybe you can't change the content. So it could be a little bit more restricted. But really, that's the difference between licensing and private label rights. And they both have a place in every digital marketer or internet marketer or information publisher's portfolio.
Okay, Nick, so what advice would you give to anybody who's interested in licensing a product?
Well, I guess we're just talking about the difference between PLR and, you know, licensing. So, I mean, the first thing I do is you need to check out the permissions, what you can and you can't do with a particular product. And obviously, what it would be ideal. Let me run through some of the things that you should be looking for. Ideally, you want lifetime licenses. You don't want a time restriction. You want worldwide licenses. You don't want to have a territory restriction. And you also want to have the ability to rebrand. You need to make sure you can give it a new title. You can change the artwork for the cover at the wrapper. And the other thing is you want to make sure you've got these rights, these permissions in writing. Don't necessarily rely on the fact you read it on a web page once. So if you've done that, the top thing, now knowing that you can sell it forever and you can sell it to the world, is you need to make your product look different to anyone else's. We live in an age where people want to be able to search for part numbers and product names and coupon codes in their favorite search engine. Your job as a licensee, because this is, you know, there are two parts here. The licensor is the person that's selling you the license, and you're the licensee, the person that's buying the license and redistributing it at retail to customers. You want to make sure that you are the only person that they can find that's got this package for sale. So rebranding helps you to do that. And if you can go one step further, if there's one other extra bonus tip I can give you, it's to try and find something that complements this product you've licensed, or two things. And then you've got a package. And then even if your thing, your widget, your product, your version of this licensed product looks a little bit similar, it doesn't matter because you're the only person that's got these other bonuses or these extras that go with this core element of the licensed product. So that makes you look different by default. So nobody can find it in Google. Nobody can find it, you know, sort of by searching images. You've made it completely unique. And then you're not competing on price. You're now competing on the value that you're giving in the product itself. So I hope that answers that question, because it is the secret between selling one or two of a licensed product and selling, you know, hundreds, if not, in my case, has been thousands of somebody else's product.
Now, when you got started, you said that you did a lot of product licensing right at the very beginning of your business. What challenges did you face at that time?
Well, I think it was a learning curve at the time, but if I'd say what wasn't a challenge to start with, maybe we actually have the answer here. But I remember that one of the things that I found out with licensing that allowed things to be much easier for me was the fact that I didn't have to prove myself and who I was when I was putting the marketing materials together. By that, I mean, I used to write about the person that was actually on, back in those days, by the way, it was the licensing of some VHS cassette tapes. And these VHS videotapes, they featured a guy who was ultra successful. So when I put the marketing materials together, I didn't have to write about how great Nick James was. I was writing about how great this guy was. And I think that allowed me to change the positioning I see a lot of people fall foul of, which is, why would people want to listen to me? How can I big myself up to other people? Well, when you license, you don't have to. And you can put yourself on the side of the buyer by saying, look, if you and I have got any sense, we can actually pay attention to what this guy, this expert, this guru is doing, and we're going to be good. We're going to be okay. So it's a very different to sell the expertise of somebody else than it is to sell your own expertise. So that was really, really useful. But in terms of difficulties, I think I actually had a home run because I was able to swing things, because nobody cared about me. They just cared about the product that I'd licensed. And I